every year I pray about, sometimes I bring the message on Father's Day, and I was praying this year about who to bring in to bring the Father's Day message, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to have Pastor Ricky Griffin come. And some of you in here know Ricky. How many of you in here know Ricky? Some of you don't. Yeah, we got several in here know Ricky. He's not a stranger to this house. A great friend of Jada and I's, him and his wife Pam. She couldn't be with him today. She's with her, with their kids up in Oregon, and he stayed behind, and he told me that's okay. I'm going to stay behind so I can come to your church today. And when I was thinking about Ricky coming, and some of you have heard this story before, but some of you haven't. I'm going to share the first time I ever met Ricky. And I've got to share it, Ricky, so that they understand how you and I got connected. We were in a, I've never been to seminary. He never had either. We both came right out of, you know, he'll tell his story here in a little bit, but he was a dealer. Not that kind of dealer. Let me see. Not that kind of dealer in Borger, Texas. Yeah, a car dealer in Borger, Texas. Let me back up there. Yeah, Jada's like, Mark, what are you doing? I'm backing myself out of that hole just a little bit. But there was a time we were both. He was a pastor in Borger, Texas. Of course, I'm pastoring here, and who were associated with Trinity Fellowship Association of Churches out of Amarillo, Texas. They started doing on weekends what they would call like Friday, I think it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday. They called it a weekend intensive, and where they would teach ministry classes. And so this one, they did a class on how to teach and preach. And I thought, you know what, I'm gonna sign up for that one and go to that. I think that'd be good. I told Jada. And because she didn't go with me, and I said, well, I'm going to go on down there and go to this deal. And so I do, and I go in, and I sit down, and right behind me is Ricky. Of course, I don't know him at this point. He's right behind me. And we're in this class, and I'm sitting there thinking all the things that he blurts out here during our deal. And we're sitting there, and this guy that was teaching this class was like really, he was nerdy, okay? I'm just going to say. He liked books, and he was into books and outlines and all this stuff, and he's up there teaching us, and he did a great job teaching the class. And I'm just sitting there going, golly, this really wasn't what I thought I was signing up for, you know, and all this. And Ricky's sitting behind me, and this teacher goes, well, what do you guys think about the class so far? And Ricky does this. Ricky slaps his hand on the table, and he stands up, and the professor's name or the teacher's name was Tim. He goes, Tim, this is boring. And I was like, hallelujah, like that. And the whole class just erupted in laughter. It was a great moment. And I ended up passing the class. I don't think Ricky did. Did you? He got a C, I think. He got a C. But here's the deal. I wanted to say that story because I promise you, you're not going to be bored this morning, all right? The reason why I had him come on Father's Day is because Ricky has an anointing from the Lord to really reach men. And he's led men's retreats with TFAC and stuff over the years, had a great men's ministry at his church in Borger. And so I want you to give a warm Harvest Fellowship Church welcome to Pastor Ricky Griffin from Amarillo, Texas. I had to share that one, buddy.
Wow. Y'all know what I like about Mark? Nothing. Hadn't found one thing. I'm going to correct the story a little. Well, you know, Mark blinks his eyes, he clears his memory. It's like, I'm clear. We did go to that class. I thought it would be good too, preaching and teaching, since most of my life I didn't live for Jesus. I mean, I was 39. Promise Keepers when it really changed my life. But at that time, I'd sold the Buick Pontiac GMC, and we bought a furniture store. We'd been doing the furniture business for 10 years. And listen, I hadn't even read most of the Old Testament when this little church asked me to come out there and start being their pastor. And I'm like, oh, wow, might have to start reading the Bible. I never forget that. So I thought, maybe I better take that class on teaching and preaching. And he showed a video of Haddon Robinson, who was this professor of preaching at Fort Worth Seminary, at Southwestern Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. And he shows the whole sermon preaching, and the camera's panning the room, and there's nothing but blue hairs and old people, and they're all going to sleep. And Tim's like, this guy's his hero. Haddon Robinson, man, he's... And I'm like, really? So he gets up after the thing's over, and he said, what did y'all think about Dr. Robinson? And I said, I believe that was the most boring sermon I've ever heard in my life. You could tell he was ticked. But I didn't care. And Mark was right. Everybody in there got an A except me. I had to send in a tape of my preaching. Remember that? Ugh. I'm getting angry. I don't think I can preach now. You know, Mark's always broadcasting when he ought to be tuning in. Listen, Mark is one of the best pastor friends I have in the world. I was excited to come this morning, and I've got so many things on my mind. I'm thinking as I'm driving down here, I've come to Oklahoma City, I started to say a million times, and Pam always says, Ricky, I've told you 100,000 times, quit exaggerating. But I'm like, everything's green this time. Have y'all noticed? I mean, it was wonderful. I mean, water standing still everywhere. I've had 16 inches at my house in Amarillo. And I once preached for a friend of mine in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And I invited him to come speak at our church. And I think they just take me to Plymouth because they like to hear I talk. You know. Pike to Kai. Pike to Kai and have it yet. And I'm like, y'all are making fun of the way I talk? So he calls me and he said, hey, I've been looking up on the internet that y'all only get about 39 inches of rain a year. Is that right? And I said, yeah, that's right. But, dude, you ought to be here the day we get it. It's awesome. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When this rain is over, it's over. Right? Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. That's all right. I'll tell you a good one how our wives can do us. You know, you're feeling pretty good about ourselves. Mark's over here saying, Jade is trying to correct me right now. Yeah, I know. It's Pam used to, when I would be up, she's kind of like the same way. But we had a lady that was a new visitor at our church, and she come up to Pam, and she'd been coming about 3 weeks, and she's like, she goes to Pam, she's like, it must be so good to go home with such a spiritual leader. And Pam said, well, I just need to tell you something. What you just saw was the anointing. It don't go home with him all the time. And I'm like, why didn't you lie to the lady? Like, people think all of a sudden, since you're the pastor, you know everything. Like, Pastor, where's that verse in the Bible? I'm like, oh, it's right here in my concordance. Let me find it. People don't realize that things happen to real people, and pastors are real people. Sometimes it's more real than you could even believe. Even bad things come. But I was thinking, driving up here, I'm so thankful I've seen all these round bells out here. I guess they still feed cattle with those round bells in Oklahoma. They've outlawed those in Texas. Cows can't get a square meal. Dude, that's bad, huh? Oh, I'm going to start here in a minute and you'll be glad. But I did want to read one verse as they were, I didn't plan on this, but as they were praying this morning over the people, that the Lord just told me to look up Mark 11. You might mark this in your Bible if you do. I forget most people don't bring their Bibles. I mark mine too on my iPhone. In fact, my sermon's on my iPhone this morning. So don't laugh. And if you don't like it, tell Mark. Don't tell me. Mark chapter 11, it's right. Jesus had just cursed the fig tree. Are y'all familiar with that story? He cursed the fig tree, and then the very next day they're coming back by, and the disciples noticed the tree you cursed yesterday is already dead. And listen to what he says. They say, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered." He didn't say, "Really?" He said, "Have faith in God." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe." Oh, I used to love that. My dad teared me out one time, and I was saying, "Let's pray, Daddy, let's pray." And everybody in the church is dying laughing. I wasn't, because I knew what was fixing to happen. But let's get back to this. "Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." You know, I really believe he wasn't speaking to one of those mountains out in the Rockies. The mountain is a giant or a problem in your life. And if you believe in God, by faith, you can speak to that problem and it'll be done for you. Y'all believe that? Happy Father's Day for him or her. You know, it really didn't bother me because I'm thankful that they're here. I'm thankful. Y'all didn't believe me yet. I'm thankful. Are y'all thankful? You know, until you get thankful for where you are, just plan on being there a while. Yep, I'm going to camp out till I get thankful. You know, it's a choice, being thankful and being joyful. And all of those are choices. Well, I'm going to get to the sermon, maybe. Poppy. Yeah, that's what my grandkids call me, Poppy. I was thinking of you this morning when my youngest, he's now living with me. He's 22. His little brother's 20, or fixing to be. They moved in with us when they were 15, 13 and 15. This is what I'm telling you, life is real. My daughter was 36 and committed suicide. It's been quite the journey. Not a day goes by I don't think about her. I even tell her, I'm going to kill you when I get to heaven. If he'll let me, I'm killing you. You know, I don't know what it's like to be so deceived by the devil that you don't think you're worth anything. You know, deception really is like bad breath. Everybody knows it but you. Right? So this morning I'm preaching, if you want to look, it's okay. If you're like me, you'll memorize it. It's the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. I've done. My English teacher used to come to my church and I'd say something and she'd be back there. I'm like, shut up. I've done lots of weddings on this chapter, you know. Nearly every wedding, well, I know, every wedding I ever performed was the love chapter here. I think most of you are familiar with it, right? Shake your heads. Good. You lie to your friends and I'll lie to mine. Let's don't lie to each other. I'm going to read some of it to you this morning before I get started. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Man, that's a good one right there. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always perseveres. Listen to this. Love never fails. I'm going to get started right here. The one I really want to key into is God's kind of love is content. 1 Corinthians 13, in the King James it says, charity envieth not. But this version just says, love does not envy. So, knowing me, I went to school in Borger, and there's a sign right out front where I went to school. It said, slow, school. That's it. So I had to look up what it meant to be envious. Here's what the dictionary said. Discontented desire or resentment aroused by another's possessions, achievements, or advantages. A person who is discontent or resents others who have more things, more talent, or a better job is a person who doesn't appreciate God's love for him or her. If they would receive God's love for them, a supernatural contentment would settle into their lives. Anybody believe that? Well, we're going to stay all day if y'all can't. You know, this is your part of the participation part of. Have you ever said to yourself, I don't know why they get everything. I don't know why they got that job. Hello? Is this on? I don't know how come. Have y'all ever thought like that? I mean, come on. I know you're different in Oklahoma, but not that different. It's like sometimes I couldn't believe when somebody gets promoted and it wasn't me. Here's what I've learned later in life. If you promote what God promotes, you'll be promoted. When you start promoting yourself, it's a hard way to get there. I was pretty good at promoting myself. Didn't last, didn't work out so well, and I just started promoting God. But as I read this, discontentment is envy at its very root of all temptation. I want y'all to listen to this really close. This is what the part that God really downloaded on me. Take Adam and Eve as an example. Before the devil could get them to sin, he had to make them discontented. Y'all remember? It says that they were walking with God, and it says God was walking with, in the cool of the day, God come walking through the garden, and he said, Adam, where are you? And it's not because God didn't know where Adam was. It's because he wanted Adam to know where he was. And he said, well, God, I was naked, so I was afraid, so I hid. Y'all can look that up if you want to. Those are the exact words, aren't they? And God said, who told you you were naked? That's good. He's still doing the same thing today that he did to Adam and Eve. When those thoughts come to your head, who told you you were fill in the blank? Who told you? Who told you you didn't have enough? Who told you you had too much? Nobody's ever told me that. Okay, it's 11:26. Y'all relax. We're going to be done by 1. Of course, I don't lie unless I'm by myself or with somebody. I told that to a blonde. I said, I only lie when I'm by myself or with somebody. She goes, wouldn't that be like all time? I said, baby, it's amazing how quick you caught on to that. Yeah, I'm either by myself or with somebody pretty much all the time. Good night. Listen to this. If you thought that was good, this gets better. Before the devil... Before the devil could get them to sin, he had to make them discontented. That was no small chore. How do you make people who are living in perfection dissatisfied? They had no needs. They'd never been hurt or abused. They couldn't blame their actions on their dysfunctional family. We still do that at my house. However, the devil made them believe they were missing out on something. He made two people living in paradise dissatisfied with perfection. That's amazing. This shows us that contentment isn't a state of being, but a state of mind. If perfect people living in a perfect world could become discontented, then certainly imperfect people living in an imperfect world can be discontented. That's why the Bible admonishes us to learn to be content in all states. You know, Paul says that in Philippians 4. He says, whatever state I'm in, he must have been in Texas. Hook 'em. Only God's love will give us the contentment we desire. Contentment. Ask the Lord for a deeper revelation of His love for you today. Realize that any discontentment is envy. And God's love is the antidote for this crippling attitude. Being content in His love is what will keep you from temptation. I'm just sitting here thinking. I love to get to share my heart. I'm retired now. It's wonderful. Every day is Saturday, except Sunday. So people say, Ricky, what day is it? I'm like, it's Saturday, unless it's Sunday. I mean, I really do mean sometimes I have to go, Pam, what day is this? But there's a part of me that got discontent being retired and not feeling like I still had a purpose. Does that make sense? Like, now what do I do? I mowed the grass. Now what? I mean, I just fired my lawn guys. I did. I fired my lawn guys. I fired the pest control, and I fired the guy that sprays and fertilizes. I'm like, I'm going to save all this money and see if Pam will let me have it. We were paying the lawn guys $40 a week to mow the yard, and I've been doing it for 15 years. I went and bought me one of those Egos, battery powered. And no, I'm not a Biden fan. I'm not going green on you. It's just it says it's the best mower. I mean, I had a Honda for 15 years before we moved to Amarillo. Loved my Honda, but there were some times it didn't love me. Man, I'd pull on that rope till I got sick and tired. I pushed it across the street. The chief of police lived across the street. I said, do you want this mower? And he said, yeah. I watched him for 15 more years mow with that thing. Started up for him every time. But anyway, I got this new Ego, man. Put the battery in it. It's self-propelled. I mean, you can turn it up so fast that you're running. And I'm like, I need to do that. My watch comes on every once in a while. It's time to stand. I'm like, I'm not standing. I'm watching Gunsmoke. Or Andy Griffith. It's about the only two shows I watch because everything else is PG. Partly garbage. Or CNN, constant negative news. In fact, I don't watch any news. Do y'all? It's all right here. Everything we need to know is right here. Yes. Purpose. It all comes down to purpose. Do you believe God give you a purpose? Even after you retire and you're just watching Gunsmoke, do you think God still give you a purpose? Me too. That's why I got up this morning excited that I'm coming to be here. Mainly because we're going to Simon's Catch. That's of God, I can promise you. If it's closed today, I told Mark I'm never coming back. It's the only thing that I was looking forward to because I knew Mark would get up and screw up the story that I knew he was going to tell. How long have we... Gosh, no wonder I feel old. I'm 68, in case you're wondering. I'd have took better care of myself if I knew I was going to live this long. I mean it. The world has changed. You can't drink dairy. You can't eat meat. You can't. All I can have is rocks and grass to stay healthy. Pam isn't here, so I had a donut back there in the back a while ago. That was of God, too, I'll tell you that. First donut I've had in forever. Let's finish up. I began to think I didn't have a purpose anymore. I was like, man, I'm not pastoring. I don't know. Man, what am I supposed to be doing? I had a good pastor friend. He was the executive pastor for Brady Boyd at New Life, Garvin McCarroll, at New Life in Colorado Springs. And I was telling him and Kim have moved back to Amarillo. And I was like, man, I just don't know if I got a purpose. I don't know what to do. Garvin looked at me and he said, Ricky, you're probably the best encourager I've ever been around in my life. You just encourage people. I'm like, really? Well, yeah, you do, and you know you do. He said, why don't you get up every day and pick out four people that you can call that day? Whether they answer or not, you just leave them a word. Hey, I was just thinking about you today. Wanted to make your day, tell you how awesome you are. Of course, I don't lie unless I'm by myself or with somebody. I started doing that. It's amazing. I called Jeff Drott. Jeff and Jenny were the children's pastors when Gateway Church first started in South Lake. And he was one of the elders, and we just remained good friends. And I he was one of the first ones I called, and he said, dude, when your name come up on my phone, I was just like, it's going to be a party. It's Ricky. And I don't know, something in my soul. You know, that's the part that needs a lot of work on us. The spirit does pretty good. The body sometimes is weak, but man, our soul sometimes needs help. And he said, Ricky, it's just good for the soul when you call. And then Jenny gets on. They had it on speaker. And she's like, Ricky, I'm not kidding. When he sees your name come up, he gets excited because it's going to be a fun few minutes. Don't y'all need people like that in your life? Somebody that instead of seeing them on the other aisle at Walmart, you go. Yeah, y'all do that here in Oklahoma too, huh? Like, oh God, if they see me, I won't get out of here for an hour. I don't ever ask them how they're doing. Because they'll tell you the whole story. That's just a greeting. When somebody says, how are you? Your response? Fine. Good. I love those looks I just got. Yeah. I see you. Let's finish up. It's 11:39. God's good. It's Father's Day. It's Father's Day. I was just thinking if we could just take a minute for ministry. Is that okay? I know things happen. I know financial things. I had four girls and one boy. I know a lot about girls. I don't know everything because I think it's impossible to know everything. But I know more than most because every one of them had a different personality and handled things differently. Especially the one that committed suicide. She was not scared of anybody. And she was beautiful. She was beautiful. I remember after the service, a friend of mine that we graduated together, we had five kids, and here's what he said. You know, people say stupid stuff when they don't know what to say. Hey, listen, if you don't know what to say to somebody that's lost a loved one, just go stand there. That's all they need, is that you cared. Right? This guy says to me, and he's a good friend, he said, you know, Ricky, you still got four. What? No, dude, I said. His name was Mark. I associate that with you. I'm kidding. I said, Mark, I still have five. Four here and one in heaven. When I found her, I'm the one who found her. Her Bible was open. And she left me a note. And she said, Dad, you know, I love Jesus as much as you do. Most people just don't know it. Huh. I remember that Father's Day that year, I thought she was the only one of my kids that would come by, bring me a gift and a card. The rest of them never bought me anything. I'm through with them too. Really, while I was sitting here, the one in Oregon texted me and said, I love you. I put, I love you too. I'm fixing to get up and preach. You better pray for these people. was I telling? I blinked my eyes and cleared my memory. I said, I'm not going to get a gift this year from Tara. I always get a gift and a card. I throw all my cards in a drawer. I'm one of those guys that if they sent me a card or a note, I've got it. And so I threw the year before card in the drawer, and I don't know what made me do it, but I went in there and I got the drawer out, and I could tell that was Tara's writing. And I opened it up, and there was a gift card in it from Amazon, $25. I said, well, you did get me a gift. It's just one of the ways God was showing me. I love you. I knew when you threw it in the drawer, it was going to be needed. What could God do for you today? What is it that He knows all about today? It might have happened a year ago, and in your mind, you threw it in the drawer. And today is the day He said, let's get that out. Let's unwrap that. I believe everybody's got something in the drawer. And God wants to deal with that today. Amen. Let's bow our heads. And I would not embarrass any of you at all, but I just want to agree with you. If God's speaking to you today that there's something that's caused a little discontent, you've been a little envious, which means I'm not trusting God's love for me, or there's something that God wants to put His finger on today to let you know He heard you. If you just raise your hand, I'd like the privilege of praying for you. That's all I'm going to do. Yeah, I see that. Yes, 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 yes. Anybody else? Okay. Well, Father, I thank You for this privilege today to get to minister to people. That Your love is sufficient. Your grace is more than enough. I pray today, God, for these people that raise their hands, that You're now, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, You're beginning to fill them with love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. All the fruit of the Spirit being released. And Lord, I just thank You for Harvest Christian Church, for Mark and Jada, who I love dearly. I pray blessings on them, for Taya, Cameron. I thank You as I watched her play this morning, God, how I've just watched her grow up in this church on the worship team. I love coming to Leedy, Oklahoma, God, and I pray Your blessing, not just on this church, but on this city and this surrounding area. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all for letting me come. If Simon's Catch is closed, you'll see a big explosion out about Merritt Road. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Ricky. That was a great word. Be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain, is what Paul said. And what I love, I appreciate Ricky sharing his story, too. He's He's walked through some rough roads. And that's God had us connected, and I'm so thankful for our friendship and relationship with Ricky and Pam. But I'm going to go ahead and speak a blessing over all of us so that we can go be with family and celebrate Father's Day. I'm going to have Ricky, I want you to go back here at the back so you can greet everybody. Okay.
Greet me with money.
Oh, Ricky, we love Ricky. We're gonna take good, the church is taking care of Ricky, I promise you, and we are gonna take him out to Simon's Catch because that was one of his big requests for Father's Day. So I'll come to lead you if you take me to Simon's Catch. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here, join hands with your family there, and I'm gonna speak this blessing over you out of Numbers chapter 6. Verses 24 through 26 is the priestly blessing, and I believe that dads, fathers, listen to me, dads, use this powerful scripture to speak over your family as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Love you guys. Have a blessed week. Donuts, yes, donuts with dad.
And we also have a photo booth.
And the photo booth.
So please take a picture with your dad.